Hey, guess what we just finished watching?
Godfather Part 3.
No, we watched the 98-1228 live video experience.
Is that what it's called?
That's what title? I call it. I don't know. Well, and what's cool now is, like, I feel like in this year of COVID, I've been watching a lot more, like, concerts at home. So before, this seemed like, I don't know, maybe like a less common thing to do. But, like, I just watched this, like, Gorillaz thing live that they did last week.
So now watching. How does it compare?
Oh, this is, like, infinitely better.
Okay.
But, I mean, I guess this idea of watching, like, live material at home might be a thing that we're doing more into the future. So now.
From the comfort, you know, a lot of concerts, you gotta stand there and wait for the people to come out.
It's kind of nice just sitting there.
Just sit there watching. Just turn it up a little bit.
I almost fell asleep in Long Season. But, yeah, so overall, like, what are your thoughts on this movie? Like, and what was your experience when you listened to the album? Like, had you watched this early on in your experience with 98, or was it a little bit later that you found out about this?
As some of you might know, and that you should know as well, I listened to, this was the first Fishman's album I ever listened to, for some reason. So, I guess maybe, I don't know if I knew if there was a video, but I knew there was an album. And I found out about the video, like, a lot later. So, watching the movie after, call it a movie? Is that what we're calling
a
it?
A movie, a film.
A film. Yes. It was interesting, but, I mean, I don't know, it was nice. It was like another dimension to the performance that you hadn't yet seen. And as we'll talk about, there isn't a whole lot going on besides some funky lights and Shinji's antics. But it was nice seeing the band together performing music. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know, yeah. It was cool to see.
It doesn't feel so much as like you're getting something new. It's more like you're elaborating on what you already knew.
Yeah.
So this sort of concert film thing was directed by Kensuke Kawamura. I did a brief Google search of him, and it seems like he had worked with the band in the past, doing some of their live videos and some of their music videos. And I think overall, he does a really good job. It's kind of interesting, though, because his direction, there's certainly, like, a lot of direction. Like, it's not just, like, a single shot of the band playing. There's some different angles.
It's not even just two shots.
There's some camera movements. We get some pretty dramatic zooms, and there's also some parts where the camera, like, falls or is just, like, moving around kind of wildly. So he's doing a lot here.
I wonder, because he was the director, but was he the one handling the camera?
Yeah, like, that's true. Do they have cinematographers? I don't know. I could look at the credits, but
we're not ones to do research.
But yeah. No, I mean, I think the most interesting thing about this is it didn't feel like your kind of typical concert film in that there wasn't a lot of, like, action, I guess. Like, there are lots of shots in this that are kind of just still shots of a light. Or it's
the
just
band
kind of
members.
Like, it feels almost like an art film as opposed to, like, an action film. And maybe that's also partly due to their live setup. Like, they don't really have a lot of, like, exciting stuff happening behind them. It's just basically, like, a couple lights and the band just standing there. Like, a lot of bands nowadays have, like, a big video screen or something, or, like, fireworks, and that's not really what's going on here. So, I don't know, like, how do you feel about his direction and just sort of, like, the sleepy vibe that he brings to this?
I think it's a nice addition to the music. Yeah. I feel because it doesn't feel, there's no dissonance between how it's directed and what you're hearing. It's very, it feels like one experience. I think he does a good job at complimenting the band.
It's directed very subtly, in the same way that the band, like, they evoke power with just, like, a few notes. That's kind of what's going on here. He doesn't need to, like, get super dramatic with the camera work.
And not even just him, but, like I mentioned, with the lighting. Because all you're really getting is some lighting and some different colored lights.
There's that big overhead light, and then there are a few different floor lights that come on. And really, that's kind of what you're talking about, is, like, during songs, like, if there's a big drop in a song or, like, a shift between songs generally, the only thing that will change is, like, a change in the color of the lights.
Or, like, the placement of a light, because, yeah, like, you know, different lights, different parts of the stage. So, much like the band, they're working with very little, and they can evoke...
Oh, a limited palette. So, I mean, I took a few notes on some of the different things that happen in these live performances. Let's go through them. So, we open with O Slime, as you know. And this is cool, because, like, the band is kind of hidden behind this big plastic curtain. And this is weird, because, like, I mean, I had been listening to this album for a little bit before I watched this performance. But even after seeing the performance, this is not really what I picture when I listen to O Slime. Like, I feel like when I listen to O Slime, especially the part with all the band members introducing themselves, I kind of picture, like, I see the band members on stage in my head, and I picture, like, a big spotlight coming down on them, and Shinji, like, walking over to each band member and kind of introducing them. But here, even though they're all introducing themselves, they're all hidden behind this big curtain. So do you think that's effective? I think it's kind of like mysterious.
Yeah, it's kind
charming.
Of
charming.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I would like to see the kind of introduction you're talking about. But I think this is also just with how like silly the introductions are.
I think that's what I mean. Like, I want to see them because it's so silly. When, yeah. I guess that's,
but it's just, like, really funny because you're just staring at this
and you're hearing
curtain.
This man say, drums, like, from behind a curtain.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I always kind of just forget that that's how they open the show just because I have this image in my head of another way that they opened it, which isn't even real. But it's just, like, I think that does speak to what's going on in O-Slime. It's almost like a kind of skit. Is that, like, their acting is so, like, cartoonish that it makes me picture this thing that wasn't even really happening. But it's cool. I kind of want to see behind the curtain, though. Like, I wonder how many of these sounds are pre-recorded or what the band members are really doing. Like, are they kind of just sitting back there while this is going on or what?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're just, like, kind of setting up. Shinji's getting his guitar on or something. Hanzi's powering up the keyboards or something. I don't know. I don't think they're really doing much. And I wonder how much of it's recorded, like those chants. I think my theory is that all the chants, them calling out each other's names, are recorded, but everything else is being done.
So you mean the
live.
Like Shato Sato is all recorded?
Yeah, and like those things. Because when after Hanji, after she's announced, and she starts saying like the Fishmen, she's like playing some keyboard parts.
Yeah,
like little funky little.
Yeah, no, it's certain parts of it are certainly live.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting, although I think this is probably the song where there's the biggest discrepancy between, like, what I picture in my head on the album and what I'm actually seeing in the video.
Yeah, that's fine.
And we go into Night Cruising, and this is an example where they kind of just, it's super stripped-back direction. There's just one big stage light shining down, and it's just really hazy and dreamy, and it works with the vibe of the song, like, perfectly. Like, it could also serve as a music video.
Yeah, this is probably, like, my favorite lighting moment on the album. It's because it looks like you're underwater, and that's the sun from above you. And you're here with this gang of fish.
Gang of Fish.
y'all heard of Gang of Four? No, it's Gang of Fish.
No, that's true, though. I don't really know if I get an aquatic vibe from the actual album, but I think the lighting and kind of the way that it's presented in the video gives me that underwater vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was, after these first two kind of like dreamy, stripped-back presentations of songs, like if there was a song that you were going to mosh to at a Fishman show, what would you do, or which song would it be? Because in the video, we do see the audience occasionally, and they're just kind of like bobbing their heads, or in Long Season, they're just kind of like standing there, not reacting.
I mean,
so
there
I really
are some
wonder
moments, like,
if you can go
like,
hard.
There are a couple shots of the audience, and some of them are kind of jumping around or like moving their arms, but yeah, they're mostly just bobbing their heads, chilling out. I think
it doesn't have to be a song that was played at the show.
But it is a song that's played at the show. If they keep playing that song, that version of Walking in the Rhythm, when it, like, speeds up near the end.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that, maybe Thank You.
Okay, yeah.
Those are probably the only two.
Within this show, probably. I would say, like, the ones that they don't play at the show that I would mosh to, like, Sunny Blue, obviously.
Oh,
like, the really hard
version
of that they play. And then probably just that. I mean, maybe, like, Doyobi.
If they did the Liquid Room
version, once it gets into the Aphex Twin part, yeah. So yeah, you can mosh at Fishman's. I feel like you can mosh at any band's show. It's just they're choosing not to. Or even in part three of Long Season, you could do some kind of like interpretive
moshing,
body moving. I don't know.
I want to see someone mosh at an Odd Sector show.
Oh. So I also want to do like a little best dressed question with you.
Yes.
Because all of our band members here are wearing very like distinctive outfits, except for maybe Motegi. So Shinji is wearing this iconic beanie. And he's wearing a shirt with the number 12 on it, which is sort of interesting because this is the 12th month of the year, December, that this show is performed in.
It's crazy.
And we have also talked about 12 Fishman's albums. I mean, there aren't 12 studio albums, but if you include the live albums and the EP, there are 12 releases. So I wonder if the number 12 is sort of like meaningful to Fishman's at all.
It was also the age Shinji was when he was 12.
This is true. And then Hanzi has this big, like, silver wig. She's got this cool jacket. And then Darts is probably my personal favorite. He has this
Absolutely.
Red hat and just a collared shirt. He's looking like a ska king. And then Motegi and Yuzuru, kind of our least fashionable members here. Motegi's just wearing a t-shirt, and Yuzuru has kind of a white hat on. So if you had to like pick your top two.
I mean, wait, hold on. To be fair, what if Modi is wearing some really funky shorts?
I mean, he might be, but he's sitting in his drum kit and we cannot see, so.
I mean, at the end when he's walking off, I think he's just wearing jeans. So.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. No, my favorite's probably Darts. Darts and Ponzi. Yeah.
It's great. I don't know if Darts' vibe like fits the music that's being played, but it certainly stands out.
I also don't know if his like attitude fits me. He's just kind of standing there a lot of the time.
There's this shot in Long Season where Darts is literally just like standing there with
his
guitar.
It's part four when they start chanting Get Round in the Season.
Perfectly straight.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So speaking of some antics that go on stage, in Unreliable Angel at the very end of the song, pretty emotional track, we get the shot of Shinji, he's crying, like there's water coming from his eyes.
Could
but
be
then,
sweat.
Or sweat, but then he just puckers his lips and kind of does like this fish pog kind of face.
And he starts like moving his head back and forth in rhythm with the end of the song.
And I think this is one of the main things that like watching Fishman's on video kind of gives me that I don't get with the album, is that like you can definitely tell just from listening to Shinji's voice that he's doing some like weird antics on stage. But it's not until you kind of see what he's actually doing.
It's even different than what you imagine.
It's different than what you
expect.
He's
not even doing things that make any sense. He's not even just moving his body in weird ways. He has like weird hand motions. That, like when he's like reaching out for a handshake. I forget what song it is, but and in Smiling Days, there's a lot. Like he's just during that breakdown part, he's just kind of standing to the side, like moving his head back and forth. He's like clapping into the microphone and doing some like boxing motions too.
No, and it truly makes me understand that whole theory that like Fishman's is partially named after Shinji's own behavior, and that idea that like the band members thought that he behaved like a fish, or they kind of acted in that way, which was hard for me to grasp early on. But after seeing him pucker his lips, it looks exactly like if you've ever fed a koi fish or seen a koi fish,
you
go
racist.
Like poggin, then that's really what it looks like. And just like he's not always even moving in time with like the beat. He's just kind of like his own creature.
Shinji.
As I'm saying this, I'm like moving my arms around
and
trying to imitate
it. This speaks to it. You don't know what Ray's doing, but he's moving like a fish.
Yes.
You would never be able to tell.
But yeah, like we said, Darts just stands there. So these are two opposite ends of a binary of like how fishy you are. And Darts is just a man.
Is it a binary or a spectrum?
It's a spectrum.
Sorry.
Speaking of Darts, I also kind of know what he's actually playing now because, you know, since Fishman's have two guitarists, Darts and Shinji. Whenever I'm listening to like a studio album, I really have no idea who's playing what. And even on 98, when I listened to the album, I pretty much always thought that every guitar solo was being played by Darts. I might have even said that earlier on this episode. But he really doesn't play a lot here. Like, he plays a little guitar solo in Walking in the Rhythm. But
did
you
just say
see,
a little guitar solo?
A little guitar
he
solo.
He plays that like entire ending guitar solo.
Yeah.
That's like the most like high octane thing.
I guess
on
what
the
I
album.
Mean is like I don't know. It feels like all the really dramatic like main guitar solos are played by Shinji, and that's not something that I knew from just listening to the album.
I would say Darts is he's better than this, but he's kind of like a backup guitarist.
Yeah.
Like
no, and that is his role in the band.
Yeah. So I mean. Could Darts, you know, Shinji could probably play Darts solo at the end of Walking in the Rhythm, but Darts could never play Shinji solo.
This is true. Shinji, yeah, it just goes wild.
I mean, I'm sure he could. I'm just saying. Darts, if you're listening, I don't mean that.
So in regards to Darts standing around, I was kind of wondering, like, how much of my enjoyment of this came from the kind of versatile direction? Because as we can see, like, Fishman's didn't really have a very, like, interesting, for lack of a better word, sort of, like, arrangement of their live show. So I really wonder, like, if you had just gone to their live show and you were kind of just standing there watching them stand there without the different camera angles that we're seeing here, do you think that would have taken away from the experience?
I think it just would have been like any other concert.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, think of the concerts we've been to. How many times are, like, the people on stage really going crazy?
I'm not talking about their behavior so much as just, like, the way it's set up. Like, I feel like maybe... Like, we went to a Death Grips show, and that's probably, like, the most minimal a set has ever been, because they were just playing with, like, this light behind them, and then, like, their drums.
Yeah.
And that was it. And there was never, like, a video behind them, and there was never really any other sort of, like, set pieces. So I guess I just mean, and maybe I'm just, like, judging this from a modern-day perspective, where a lot of bands play with, like, a video screen or, like, some sort of decoration.
Well, also, I mean,
but
think back
so
to that
minimal.
That Death Grip show was, yeah, like you said, the most minimal, but it was also the most exciting time we've ever had.
True.
So
so maybe it means there's just, a higher focus placed on the music than just, like, superfluous decoration, I guess.
Superfluous.
Ugh. Like, when I saw MGMT Live, they had, like, Roman busts and, like, plants on stage, which kind of added to the aesthetic, but it didn't really, don't know. You don't need that stuff.
You know, when I saw Shabazz Palaces, you know what they had?
What?
Had, like, a computer.
Oh.
And, like, some African instruments. You know, I think, small tangent here, Godspeed might have, like, the best setup. Because there's, like, 9 musicians. And they're playing all these, like, decrepit old, like, tape loops on the video screen. And they're playing, like, this really apocalyptic music. And it's a whole experience. Mm. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you got Death Grips. And they got a white light.
That's all you get. And a drum. Yeah. But either way, I think it's just, like, a pretty effective performance. Like, Fishman's doesn't need all these extra trappings. It's just the band and the lights and the vibe. So overall, I feel like sort of the only spot in this performance where I feel like it really exceeds my expectations of just the live video are Urameki and Long Season, because this is really where the direction and the overall vibe of the camera work and the lights are really super well matched to the music.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I kind of just got lost in a trance and I thought I was going to fall asleep. I believe Chris's line in Urameki was, "The movement of the colors is so interesting here." And it was. The lights are so simple, but they're just moving in mesmerizing ways.
Yeah, and like in other tracks, like the colors would change so starkly. Like a moment of the track happens and then the lights might change color, or they might be slowly shifting throughout the track. But here, it's like every other minute, they're in a different place, different color.
This is where it gets really aquatic. Like, I feel like I'm inside an aquarium. I feel like I am a fish when I'm watching this.
A fish man, a fish person.
And then Long Season, of course, is just, it could be its own little short film. Just the way that it's filmed, it's incredible. It's super hypnotic light work. And
that
then
drum solo.
Part the 3 is probably where it gets the weirdest. Like, there's a very long continuous shot of just this one light.
Mm-hmm.
And it occasionally breaks to Motegi so we can see what he's doing, but a lot of it is just like this general shot. And I was kind of wondering, like, what's the band doing during this time? We see a brief shot of Shinji kind of just standing there.
I think he's sitting, because like, when part 4 starts, you see him all kind of, you don't see him walk back on stage or anything. You see him, like, just kind of get up.
Yeah.
So I think they're all just kind of sitting on the floor.
I feel like that'd be a fun thing to do during a live performance. I mean, not for Motegi, because he's still performing. And Hanzi, I think, is doing some sort of, like, electronic shenanigans. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just to have this, like, hypnotic moment in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
Where you can kind of just sit on stage and chill. And then, of course, I was reminded once again that Hanzi carries all of Fishman's on her back, because during the second half of Long Season, she's playing like a bajillion different instruments. She whips
out. One time you see her like on the keyboards, and you see her singing, then you see a violin in her hands, then you see an accordion.
And it's like, we never see her actually change the instruments. It's like, we'll see her with the violin, and then like the direction cuts away to Shinji, and then we'll cut back to Hanzi, and we're like, oh, she has an accordion now. So it's just kind of incredible how much she's doing in the song. And I think, like, obviously, you can hear that when you're just listening to it, but seeing the video and all the changes really highlights.
I am skeptical of one thing, though, because it's not, I guess it's not completely related to the video, but on that list by Achop's friends, Ishmael Black, where he ranks all the Fishman's, he talks about Long Season, like, pretty in-depth, and he says that Hanzi actually plays that keyboard loop before, and she loops it. You know, the piano loop.
Yeah, I thought that is what she's doing, right?
Is it?
Yeah, like, she plays it. She's playing it before, and then she, like,
loops it. And that would make sense, but it's like, first off, we don't see her do it. And second off, it kind of just sounds like the same piano loop that we hear in the other versions. Maybe she's just the same sound. I don't know. I'm not completely discrediting it. I just want to know for sure.
Are you saying that she's not playing it live? Next thing, you're going to be saying that Shinji's, like, lip-syncing?
Oh, my.
If there's any singer where it's obvious that he's not lip-syncing, it's Shinji, because, or like if he is every lip-syncing. Performance is so unique.
If he is lip-syncing, he's doing a damn good job. I will. No. What was I going to say about Hanzi?
Well, we were going to say that Hanzi and Shinji had, like, very similar energies. Yeah. Which is strange in their movements. You see it less because, like, obviously Hanzi is less of a highlight of the video, but she kind of has that same fishy.
She's just playing some
spirit, simple
like keyboard parts, and she's like moving around like it's, you know, no big deal.
It's like when I see Darts and Yuzuru, they're kind of rigid, and then when I see Hanzi and Shinji, they're a little bit more free flowing. And Motegi somewhere in the middle, probably.
Yeah. Good job, Motegi.
So then I don't know. The final minute of Long Season is really cool. We get some very dramatic zooms where the camera just goes all the way in on the stage and then it pulls all the way out like it's some cheesy 70s film. And I'm like, why are we doing this? We don't need to do this.
It's also like not in rhythm at all. It just kind of happens.
Like, time to zoom.
Thanks, man.
So kind of my main question about this whole video is like why Yuzuru was not the focus of it. And I get that like the video, they probably had a bunch of different angles on all the band members and they released the video with the album after Shinji's death. So of course Shinji's like a huge focus. But I guess like even seeing them live, Yuzuru is kind of just in the background. So especially knowing that the show was like supposed to be his sort of farewell show, I was surprised by like the lack of focus on him.
I guess in the introductions, he's like the final one before Shinji, and there's like the most chanting going on. It feels like, I mean, the Chateau Sato is pretty fun, but I mean, out of all the introductions, he gets like the biggest one. Although, yeah, like at the end of the show, they all just kind of walk off.
Motegi gives a very brief kind of like salute gesture to Yuzuru, and the audience cheers. But yeah, I don't know. And I know that there are a few moments where Shinji talks to the audience. I kind of just wish that he had like brought up Yuzuru and been like, hey.
This man is the reason we're successful.
Huh. I guess what I mean is like, if I didn't know that the background of this tour was that Yuzuru was leaving and I watched this, I would never be able to guess that that was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, but aside from that, it's like a really good experience. I think it doesn't take away from the album at all. I think it improves in a few places, like the final few songs and maybe the first few. And then in the middle, you know, the jammier tracks, it's just kind of directed like a normal concert film.
Which is still good, because it's awesome seeing them at work jamming out.
Yes.
It's very infectious.
It's good enough that we're probably going to watch it again, because we're currently recording this on the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
When normally we like to watch this on the 28th.
And
we're going to watch it on the 28th, but we had to do it a little early.
I literally took 3 days off of work so I can watch this.
So yeah, hopefully if you're a Fishman's fan and you've never checked this out, you can look it up. I think it's on Vimeo, and it's also on Bilibili.
Bilibili, which is like I think it's either a Japanese or a Chinese like video streaming service.
There are also DVDs of the Long Season performance available if you go to like Discogs. I think last time I checked, they're like $50. They're going to be a little bit more because you have to import it from Japan.
Also, Bai-E. Japanese auction site. That's where I got like that's where you get like the Fishman's vibe.
But honestly, like in terms of Fishman's merch that you can buy, I feel like the Long Season, or not Long, 98, the 98 live DVDs are honestly like a little bit cheaper.
They're relatively easy to get. I mean, you still have to pay a lot for shipping and all that.
I mean, it's online for free. But I heard that the federal government is passing some law that like bans illegal streaming, and you're gonna like go to jail for 10 years. So maybe you shouldn't do that.
That won't stop me.
Anyway, so yeah, now that we're done talking about the video and the album, I think that's all of the 98 content that you can even talk about. I'm all 98'd out.
98'd out. Maybe if I had the vinyl with me, we could talk about like the cool the pictures inside the physical copy are really cool. And like that picture of Shinji, there's a picture of Yuzuru in there too. Like these cool effects on him. It'd be really interesting.
But you don't, because you're poor. So
are you.
Instead of that, I don't have it either. So let's get into our ranking.
Yeah, rank it up.
Oh, are you ready? Can you hear me? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. It's ranking time on the Fishcast. We are currently recording this like a month before this episode is coming out, but
no matter.
The poll closed on November 1st.
And Joe Biden is the president.
Not that poll. That poll didn't close until like November 7th. Anyway, we made sure to protect our election security with our Fishcast poll. And we got even more responses this time than the first one, which is really cool. We got like 36 responses this time. So thank you everyone who sent in one.
Only 36? Come on, pick it up.
Well, we have like 100-ish people who listen to us.
Thank you.
But hey, cool people. So this is by no means going to be like a representative sample of anything. It's just a few devoted Fishman's fans. But should I remind them of the rules? I guess I should.
Go for it.
Basically, this is our second poll that we've done this year, kind of like the big everything poll, because our first poll that we did was just about the early Fishman's material up through 1995. We had you rank the albums and then list your top 10 Fishman songs from that period. But this ranking was a little bit different because you could do any song, any bootleg, any remix that you wanted. And then we had you guys rank the just all the Fishman's albums that we've covered on this channel. So that was basically the 12 episodes that we've had, which is all of their studio albums, their 4 different live albums, and also Corduroy's Mood, the little EP album thing.
Y'all remember that?
That exists. Y'all remember that? So the results were interesting, to say the least. And we also have our own polls that we're going to go over for just like all of Fishman's. What order do you want to do this in? We're going to do
Should we stick with the albums first and then songs?
Let's do album. I feel like, well, I honestly feel like the album results are a little bit more interesting than
the
songs. I want to start with the songs.
Okay.
And also just a reminder about how we sort of weighted these rankings, just to make sure that everyone's voice kind of had an equal rating. For the songs, if you put a song in first place, it got 4 points. If you put a song in second through fourth place, it got 3 points. Put a song in fifth through seventh place, got 2 points. And then eighth through 10th place got 1 point. We did this so that...
I did this
so that if you put a song in first place, it didn't get like 10 points because that would have been kind of insane. And then for the albums, 1 through 12, it was just sort of like whatever you had in first place gets one more vote than everything else going down. So this is how we did it. If you're into like stats, I don't know, I feel like this is a good way to rank things.
Correct us if we're wrong.
Nate Silver out here. I'm young Nate. So songs first. I guess we can just go like my number 10, your number 10. Is that how we did it last time?
Yes. Pretty sure.
Who wants to start? You're younger. You can start.
I am younger.
You are.
Oh man. All right.
Oh, also we each have an honorable mention, right? We can do that first if you want.
Okay. I didn't pick my honorable mention.
Oh, well, do you? I can do mine while you think of yours.
Okay, go for it.
My honorable mention in songs, a song that I love, but I just couldn't put it in my top 10 because everything was so damn good, is Murasaki no Sorakara, or From the Purple Sky. And this is on Corduroy's Mood. I really wanted to represent Corduroy in my top 10. And this is definitely one of my favorite Fishman songs. It's so unique. It just like that acoustic vibe.
Absolutely.
Just a beautiful vibe. Looking at Chris's Spotify Wrapped because we're recording this earlier in the month. And they were like playing the songs over the little montage that they have. And they closed it out with the song, and I was just like, that's a beautiful song.
What a beautiful song.
And I was like, I felt guilty because I didn't have it in my top 10 Fishman songs. But so, honorable mention, you get the bronze.
All right. I think an honorable mention has to go out to Tairi Nai Tenshi. Because for a while, that was, like, the original studio version was my favorite Fishman song for a good chunk of time. And it's not that I like it less anymore. It's just I realize I like other songs more. So,
there are a lot of people who seem, like, that seems to be, like, their favorite Fishman song, or at least a version of it on 98.
It's so good.
People love it.
But I don't know, that original one got me feeling a sort of way. So that's my honorable mention.
Okay.
Yeah.
My number 10, do the drum roll, is Walking in the Rhythm, not the other one.
That's funny because originally my 10 was Walking.
Hey, okay, so this is just the studio version on Uchu, not the live version. I do think the studio version is a little bit better.
A little bit.
You know, absolutely. I think we already said everything we need to say about the song on our Uchu episode, but I think it's really just like... pretty groundbreaking exploration of death and just like
if that's
absurdity and existence and just repetition. It's really haunting and it's grown on me a ton since I first heard it. I remember when I first heard it, I liked it.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
I was like, that's not really a standout on the album, but now, like, boy.
Come on now.
That Hanzi part.
Ooh.
You know I love me some Walking in the MF Rhythm.
All right, my number 10.
What's it gonna be?
Weather Report.
Studio version?
Studio version, absolutely. Again, we've already covered this song before. I guess we'll have covered every single one of these songs except one of them. Excellent track. I love the Boards of Canada vibes it gives me.
Hey.
But besides that, excellent vocal performance, especially in those choruses. The ending with the guitar. Come on.
Shout out to my man, Wreck.
It's
such a good song, and it's so unique in their discography, and I'll have more to say on that later.
Wow, I wonder why. Okay, number 9, go for it.
My number 9 is the Hachigatsu version of Zutomae.
Ooh.
This is a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Just go listen to it. Speaking of more Hanzi violin, I think a lot of my top 10 tracks have Hanzi violin in them because it's just like, she knows what she's doing. She makes me feel things. And
mine
this version
of
Zutomae, I think this is probably one of the most explicitly, like, emotionally powerful Fishman songs.
Yeah. A lot of them either make me sad or feel really happy, but I don't know. They don't feel emotional. This one does.
Zuto cry. Okay. What's your number 9?
Number 9 is a song that isn't emotional at all. Oasis' Yokoso.
Hey!
We gotta give some representation.
Studio version. I'm gonna keep asking.
Yes. Basically every single one of these except for...
Oh, don't tell us!
Two of them.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Anyway, if we're talking about really interesting Fishman songs, this is really up there. This song feels very strange, especially like those like horn parts near the end and that like really wailing synth that plays every so often. It's got a very delicious atmosphere.
That's a deep ass cut to put in your top 10. I mean, it's the kind of cut that you put at number 9, but like,
man, I wanted to put it a lot higher.
That's like powerful.
Yeah, come on.
That's powerful.
Let's go.
My number 8 is a song that a lot of people really like, and it's the 98 version of Urameki in the Air.
Wow, it's kind of low.
Kind of low, but also when you think about my history with this song, this is pretty high. Like, I used to actually dislike this song.
This was like one of the first Fishman songs you heard, and he hated it.
I hated it.
Yeah,
and we're recording this before we do our 98 episode, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more on that episode, so I'm probably being redundant. But yeah, you know, it's just grown on me so much, and I think it's really just like it grew on me along with Shinji's voice, because that was the thing I didn't like about it, was just kind of like how obnoxious his voice sounded. But just as I've familiarized myself with Fishman's, I kind of grown to accept
I like
the way that Shinji's voice sounds. I love it.
Okay.
So I don't know. This is just, it was the final step in my Fishman's journey, was loving Urameki in the Air.
I feel like Walking in the Rhythm too.
And Walking in the Rhythm too.
But like, no, this one was the biggest step.
And I can't deny how powerful the song is. So it's a number 8. It's not something that I listen to all the time, but whenever I listen to it, I feel like things. I feel some things.
The things. My number 8. Doyobi no Yoru.
Doyobi no Yoru!
I forgot to, like, when we did our first song ranking on the O Mountain episode, I forgot to include this. But I did not forget this time. This song is a jam. We've already talked about it a lot, and we've come to the realization that it's hard to talk about it. It's a perfect song.
It goes though. Hard.
It goes hard in the paint, in the whip.
Who are you?
Any situation where this song could go hard, it goes hard. The studio version, by the way.
Oh, of course. So yeah, all the other versions are nothing compared to the studio version.
I was considering the 97 Liquid Room version
This
and Zutomai.
I think someone voted for that. I forget who you are, but if you are the person listening who voted for Liquid Room Doyobi,
good job.
King and or Queen.
Or neither.
I don't know, king is a
royalty.
King is a gender neutral term at this point, I think. It's like,
what about royalty?
Bro, you're a king.
Okay.
That was number 7, right? Yeah, my number 7 is Sore Watara no Kibunsa.
The studio version?
The studio, I guess, studio version demo, that version.
Yeah.
The version that isn't on Hachigatsu. The version that's on the Aloha Polydor comp. This is one of the most beautiful Fishman songs.
Absolutely.
It's so good. It's just a Shinji solo song. It's also a boy band song, apparently. And I just, I love it. It's so delicate.
Yeah, no, it's perfect song.
And it's probably the best Fishman song title. Sore Watara no Kibunsa.
It feels so good to say. I feel very Japanese.
Sore Watara no Kibunsa. Oh, yeah. It just rolls off the tongue like hot butter.
Hey, man, what you listening to?
Sore Watara no Kibunsa.
Sore Watara no Kibunsa.
Oh, yes. So, number 7, just for the title alone, even if the song was bad, I would still love it. But it's not. It's a good song.
Perfect. Okay, number 7. Kansha Odoroki.
Hey!
Remember when that was my number 1? Things have changed. But again, like Taira Naitenshi, nothing bad to say about the song, of course. It's in my top 10. This song makes me feel incredible. It is such a fun song.
It's a little jaunty number, huh?
It's a little jaunty number. That's all I have to say.
Wow,
perfect
yeah.
song, yeah.
That was your number 1 on the last poll, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because we were only talking about the older stuff.
Yeah, come on. But to be fair, though, a couple older tracks have made it past that. So some changes have been made.
You ready to hear my number 6?
What's your number
6? My number 6 is 98 Long Season.
Can I preface? Hold on. Can I preface this by saying this? You will not hear 98 Long Season on my list at all, and I will give you a reason. Only because it is now brought up by Ray. I feel like it's such a ubiquitous choice that, like, it's almost as if most people know if you like Fishman's and if you really like that, it's the song, and it would technically be my number 1. All right, if you want to know,
it's
my favorite.
It's cool that you're kind of like. Essentially, you know, it's kind of difficult to rank with songs because it is like an its own album.
It's so
it feels kind of odd.
It's
I mean,
like
we
so
allowed
monumental.
Yeah, we allowed you guys to rank it with the songs, and a lot of you did, and it is reflected in your guys' poll that we'll get to shortly. So yeah. I think because I have it on my list and you guys have it in your list, Chris doesn't really need to have it, and we know
we
that you
know.
Like it. You're not dissing the song. You're just saying like it's on another level, and that's kind of why I left it out of my top 5. Is that like in terms of the performance, this really is. Like the best Fishman song, inarguably.
It is. It's like, again,
but it's just
my
like
number 1.
Everything that I put above this on my list is just something that I have a bit
closer of a connection to, or just songs that I listen to more often, because I'm not constantly listening to Long Season. So for me, I'm not ranking my list as like the songs that I think are the best. It's truly just my personal favorites. And for me, Long Season 98 is number 6. Wow. So, but I do love it, and that's about as high as I could put it without feeling like I was really keeping other things out of the top 5.
It's the most. I don't know if you guys can hear that. It doesn't matter.
There's cars honking. It's because I just said that Long Season 98 was my number 6, and they're like, fuck you, Ray.
No, it is the most transcendent experience any music could ever hope to come to. That's besides the point. My number 6 is, wait, what did you
have? I was gonna compare it to like that Microphones in 2020 album that came out this year, because that's another album that's like a really long, big song, and I listened to it, and I really did love it, and it was like incredible. But when it came time to like rank things at the end of the year, I just couldn't really put it anywhere, because I was like, oh, it's like it's doing a different thing. Like, it's not even like music anymore. It's just like a feeling. It's just a feeling. Sorry, watara no kibunsa.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't know. It's so difficult to compare to everything else. I'm just apologizing for putting Long Season at number 6.
It's too monumental for me. It's anyway, my number 6 is Poca Poca.
Poca Poca.
Poca Poca. What a the start to my favorite studio album of all. Actually, that's not true, but it was true for a while. A beautiful start to an album. A beautiful song just on its own, right? Hanzi's violin in the waking second up. Half of this song. You waking
cooking
up.
Cooking some eggs. Oh, wait, that's not the egg cooking song, that's not is the it? Egg, well, no. It's one of them. I don't know. It's a whole breakfast album.
You know, this is simply just waking up, and the window is like kind of open, so you can see the light coming in. It's
a beautiful song.
A beautiful song. Number 6.
My number 5 is Atarashihito, the studio version on Kuchu.
It's pretty close.
Oh, this version is so good. And like, it's just a unique thing, and it's so lonely, and it's so different from every other Fishman song. It's a little bit more like trip hoppy, weirdly psychedelic. It's not doing their normal sort of like, are you feel good? This one's like, are you feel bad? And
this
I
one's,
do.
This one's are you feel?
Are you feel some type of way?
And the question is unknown.
But I love this one. This is definitely like the Fishman song that I've probably listened to the most. It was the one that gave me my incredible weed brownie experience. And who could forget
the weed brownie
going on an awful weed trip and having that sort of induced by listening to Atarashihito. So I just have, I'm tied to this song in like a spiritual way, and I'm never going to escape it, which is why it's at number 5.
Well, my number 5 is Blue Summer. Blue Summer. This song is just a jam.
Wait, so this has moved up for you because you had Concha over Blue Summer last time, but now you have Blue Summer
now
over
Concha. I've realized
Concha.
That Blue Summer has, it's not a blue summer. It's a very dark summer, but.
Dark blue summer.
You're just wishing for a blue summer, and that's why it's called Blue Summer. It's very agonizing, but it's also very passionate.
I always kind of interpreted it like blue, like you're sad, right?
Or that, that's a perfect description. Yeah, I mean, but like, you know what I mean. Anyway, perfect song. It is so good. Shut up.
I'm glad you have that because I don't know. I love Blue Summer, but it's not really like one of my favorites. But I'm glad that we're doing different things.
It may, I don't know.
And it's definitely unique. Like,
it's very, because like compared to all their like other reggae songs, this one feels the most like
the darkest for sure.
It's definitely the darkest for sure.
My number 4 is Walkin', the studio version, which means, yes, I put Walkin' above Long Season and, like, Yurameki, but this is because Walkin' just brings me so much joy. It's just a dumb song, and it's so much fun, and, like, it's irresistible. I listen to it so often, I feel so uplifted. It's almost like the pure opposite of Atarashihito in that regard, where Atarashihito, like, it just makes you feel kind of blah, but Walkin' makes you want to go conquer the world.
It makes me want to walk.
Crazy guitar solo, infectious chorus, something that can't really be said for too many Fishman songs, especially later on. And it's just like, oh, it's just like it's a pop song. That's what it is.
It's a pop song, yeah, it's a pop song. I don't know.
Yeah, Walkin', great song. I don't know, underrated.
It was in my top 10. It was for a little bit.
Okay, that's so fair. I'll be the Walkin' rep.
I'm the Walkin' rep. All right. My number 4, it goes to Atarashihito, the studio version.
Ayy!
And you've already said everything that
we
needs to be
aligning.
Said about it. And yeah, it's a song that takes me somewhere. I don't know where it takes me, but it takes me very far away.
Takes you into the heart of the abandoned city.
Right, yeah,
my number three is a song that you already talked about, which is Doyobi no Yoru. Hey, we're jerking each other off here. So you can just keep going. You know how I feel about it. It's pretty good.
My number three. it's Murasaki no Sorakara.
That's so high for that. Oh my god, that's so cool.
I've had a bit of a realization that this is like the best Fishman song ever.
It's incredible.
Whenever I want to feel good.
You are feel good.
This is, are you feel good? Yes, I feel good. Why are you asking me? It should be obvious. I'm listening to Murasaki no Sorakara. No, incredible song. It has really grown on me. And in fact, you'll see, I'm not going to spoil anything about the album rankings. Just know that Corduroy's mood has grown on me immensely.
You know, I just realized they really should have played a live version of Murasaki no Sorakara on Hachigatsu, because like that album cover literally has a purple sky. It would have fit thematically. It would have fit sonically. Bro, let's go back in time to those recording sessions and we'll be like, hey Shinji, do you remember Corduroy's mood? And he'll be like, no, I don't. And I'll be like, oh, never mind. That's an incredible pick, and you're great.
Okay.
Number two is another song you already mentioned. It's Weather Report, Studio. Weather Report, it was tough to decide between Weather Report, I can't speak, and Doyobi no Yoru, just because they're probably, like, two very... Yeah, they're just, like, incredible songs. But they're doing very different things, because Doyobi definitely, like, kind of hits a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And Weather Report's more chill. But overall, I feel like Weather Report just, like, you know, it does more things. It's a bit more spacious, and it makes me feel more emotional. So I put it at number two. And it's just such a unique vibe. I wish we had a whole album like Weather Report.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just listen to Boards of Canada. Okay, my number two.
We're in the end game now.
All right, my number two. Yurameki in the Air.
You did it. Studio?
No. 98, 12, 20, Otoko Tachi no Wakare.
Nice.
I don't have anything to say. It's so good. The violin solo at 7 minutes is the best thing anyone has ever done.
The outro. Is
the outro is really good, too. 7 minutes until like 11, 12 minutes. All right.
Yurameki.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, I'm glad you included that, because I know that's another fan favorite alongside Long Season. But Yurameki's more of like a reasonable song to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
Number one.
Here we are.
Do we have the same number one? No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Oh, we
absolutely
don't. So my number one isn't even on your list. Okay, yeah. My number one is the Hachigatsu Atarashi Hito, which I have professed is like my favorite song of all time. And it is still my favorite song of all time. And I feel weird putting it as my favorite Fishman song, because it's not really doing the Fishman sound in a classic sense. It might be like their most distinct sonic moment. And they're doing like slowcore, they're doing this kind of obscure, just like, just the same things happening over and over again. Very slow, it's guitar, whispered
slow
vocals.
Slow is the word. And honestly, if I had two more choices for my, honorable mention, this and the 97 Liquid Moon version.
Why don't we just do a top 20?
Okay, whatever.
But
anyway,
the song, I don't know, it just makes me feel pathetic. And I think it's also, I mean, since I just can't separate listening to Fishman's from just like knowing about Shinji's death and just like the legacy of the band being all about kind of building up to that moment. So every Fishman song for me is colored through the lens of Shinji's death. And this is probably the one that hits the hardest as a result, because this song just sounds like you're about to die.
Yeah.
So I just picture Shinji, and his performance is so, it feels so true. Like, once again, I'll say it, like, I don't think you can deliver that kind of vocal performance and not like be feeling the way that the song wants to make you feel. Like, there's a real sadness like imbued in this song, and it's just makes me feel. Okay, what's your number one? I mean, I hope it's more uplifting.
It's not. It's Walking in the Rhythm.
I forgot. No, oh my god.
This has been a top contender for me for a very long time. I went very in depth with it in the Uchu episode, but. I don't have anything to say about this one either.
It's another sad
song. It's just very sad. And the way, like the outro, I don't want to call it an outro, the entire second half of the song, just how it fades out. Just those vocals, the bass line.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Well, I like, we're kind of on the same wavelength for our number one choices.
Like the two saddest Fishman songs.
I think we both have really good lists. We included stuff from a variety of albums. We included jauntier, upbeat cuts and some more depressive, post-rocky, late-stage cuts.
For sure.
So do you want to see how our audience voted?
How did you guys do?
The audience was not quite as diverse in their picks as us.
Oh, wow.
And I'm also glad that we had that earlier poll where we had you guys ranking just the stuff up until 95, because none of that stuff is represented in this list. No, like, people voted for some earlier songs and stuff off King Master and Chappie, but not enough that it really mattered. Everything here is only from, like, a few different albums, I think. So, yeah, the audience's number 10 is Bakubito ni no Kaze, the studio version.
Oh.
That's a choice cut, I
number
think.
Number 10.
Number 10.
Wow.
That's not something I would have predicted to end up here, because I mean, maybe I conceived of it wrong, but I always thought it was kind of like a lurker.
A little bit. It's like one of those, like, I think a lot of people like it, but I didn't think a lot of people liked it that much.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people had it at number 1. People had it, like, down the list, but just, like, everybody seemed to have it, and everybody loved it.
That's fair. It's an excellent track. Yeah.
Love it. Number 9 is also from Uchu. It's Daydream.
That one makes a lot more sense.
That's one I wish I could have included on my list. But yeah, as like kind of the culmination of Fishman's as we know them. Very emotional, cathartic, big guitar. People like it. It's Daydream.
It's Daydream.
Number 8 is, well, sort of an older cut. Not really. It's the 98 version of Nan Titano.
Come on, that's a 98 cut.
But I'm glad
Nan
Titano is here, because I know you guys voted for different people. I mean, more people voted in this poll, and who knows if it was the same people. But Nan Titano, the studio version, was voted as the number one track of the early Fishman's period. So it makes sense that some version of it is here, because I know you all like Nan Titano.
Yep.
And the 98 version is very good.
It's better than
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll get
anyway, really cool that's there. Number 7, yet another Uchu cut. It is Poka Poka. Really high up.
Thank God it's above like the other two.
I guess I was also surprised by this. I mean, maybe my surprise is just because I'm like, yeah, Poka Poka is good. But people are Poka Poka is really good.
Yeah, they're right.
They're right.
Come on. The people have spoken.
Number 6 is Walking in the Rhythm Studio.
Every song from Uchu's on this
Every
list.
Every song from Uchu. Actually, well, that's not true. I don't think Magic Love is on this list.
What do you mean you don't think? You have it in front of you.
It's not on this list. Anyway, Walking in the Rhythm, number 6, I think that's a good placement. It's kind of an unwieldy, like, experimental song, so I don't know. But then again, these are, like, hardcore Fishman's fans who love, like, Long Season. So.
Come on now. This is that. But I think 13 minutes is nothing.
That's a good spot for it.
Absolutely.
Number 6. Okay, good job, top 5 is what we're dealing with here. Number 5 is yet another song from Uchu.
Oh my god.
It's Weather Report, the studio version. This makes sense at number 5. It's a pretty big song. It's really good. People like Weather Report. This was number 1 for a lot of people. People love Weather Report. Wow. I mean, everything in the top 5 was number 1 for a lot
of
people.
That kind of makes sense. I can imagine that.
Number 4 is another cut from 98. It is Night Cruising.
That also makes sense.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people really love that song, like that version.
Outside of the two like main songs on 98, I guess, think Night Cruising is kind of like the main one.
Nan Titano, but that's
Nan Titano's already here, yeah.
Well, we only have 2 albums represented in this top 10 so far.
There is one more album that will be represented.
Wow, I wonder which one it is.
Number 3 is the album that will be represented. It's Studio Long Season.
Oh
Studio
man.
Long Season is number 3.
I hate you guys.
What do you
so
think
much.
Number 2 and number 1 are?
Well, they're not from Uchu, are they?
They're not. They're both from the same album, and the album is not Uchu.
So it's from 98, and number 1 is 98 Long Season. And number 2... Oh, number 2... It's not Ikaruta, baby.
No. What's the other the other song from 98?
I'm trying to think. Hikoki. In the flight.
Yurameki in the air.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I thought we already talked about that.
No, you talked about it on your list.
Okay, Yurameki. Yeah. Oh, man.
So number 3 on the audience is Long Season Studio. Number 2 is Yurameki, and number 1 is Long Season.
Ask me a year ago, I would have said that.
It's impossible to state how many people had Long Season 98 at their number 1, and I'll just say it had double the amount of points of the number 2 track. Like, Yurameki through Backbeat, like 2 through 10, they all had, like, they were all within, like, 5 votes of each other.
Yeah.
But then Long Season was just like double. It had like over 100 points. So I'm just like, oh my God, this is insane.
Well, again, That's why it's not in my list. I agree with everyone that voted for it, number one, though. You're right. This is the correct opinion. So yeah. I'm glad.
And I'm glad this is here because, you know, like I had it kind of low on my list and Chris didn't have it as his. So y'all love 98 Long Season and it's a whole ass album. So even comparing it to these other like tiny 5 minute songs feels a little wrong.
Come on. But
it's better than all of them.
Much appreciated. Absolutely.
It's 98 Long Season.
Come on.
So good job, guys. I mean, yeah, there is no Kuchu in this list. This list only represents Uch. Long Season, the album, Uchu, and 98, which I think is fascinating.
Which, those are just like the last three albums they did.
Well, I think that also, like, let me get on the Fishman Spotify really quick. Like, you can tell that we have some hardcore fans voting because, the only song from the top five popular Fishman songs on Spotify that is in this top 10 is Studio Long Season.
To be fair.
Baby Blue, Wasura Chow, Go-Go, and Studio Night Cruising are not here.
And I will say, I'm sure the people on Rate You Music are fairly big Fishman's fans, especially if you're listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Wow. But if you're listening to a Fishman's podcast, you're a fucking loser.
But at the same time, you got to realize the demographics, or at least like what people like on Rate Your Music versus what's being listened to on Spotify. Like, I feel like that more represents the people I see on like Discord and Rate Your Music.
Rip Kuchu. Give my boy Kuchu justice. Maybe there will be justice when we get to the albums.
Here we go.
Let's do our albums first.
Let's go.
I started last time, so you can start this time.
All right, number 12 is Neo Yankees Holiday.
Oh, Neo Yankees Holiday, number 12. I know you hate it.
Look, there's a few bangers on this album, and there's a couple of, like, pretty good tracks. A lot of it is... I don't hate this album. I got really nothing too bad to say, other than some of the tracks are a little questionable, but I think...
questionable puts it lightly.
Of all the Fishman's albums, this one's the most inconsistent, even though it has like some of my favorite songs ever on it. So
yeah,
that's rough.
Neo Yankees has grown on me a little bit. I think I realized that like none of the songs really anger me. Some of the songs are kind of just boring, but it has way more good songs than bad songs. So my number 12 is Chappie Don't Cry.
Wow.
It's the standard pick, as one does, but I don't know. It's just, I don't really return to it a lot. I don't hate it. It's just like an album. It doesn't really sound like Fishman's at all. I think I've realized that. It's like, they're definitely, it's the only album that could have been played by any other band. Like, they're just doing reggae and they're just doing it not really in a unique way.
This segues perfectly into my number 11 choice, which is Chappie Don't Cry. I low-key wanted to put it above O Mountain. And honestly, on any other day, I might. But I think they're pretty interchangeable. Except, like, O Mountain's, like, a lot better.
Yeah, no, but there are versions of Chappie songs on O Mountain that are better than they are on Chappie.
I don't know. But Chappie, I don't know. It's got Natsu no Omoi there and Go Go Club.
Natsu no Omoi Day. Deep cut. You should have put that in your top 10 tracks.
I was going to.
That would have, like, been a real hipster move.
No, I would have, but I decided it's not worth it. But... there you go.
Speaking of O Mountain, my number 11 is O Mountain.
Wow, I mean, you know my number 10 now.
O Mountain is, it's an album, it's a live album. I think the problem is, like, as with any live album, they didn't really do a lot differently on it. Like, they're playing good versions of all these cuts, and there's, like, some new stuff, like Blue Summer, and a really cool, you know, like, O Crime is really cool, which is generally, I don't know, it's just weaker versions of some songs like Dayobi, and stronger versions of songs like Chance. You know, it's just, it's kind of a mixed bag, and it's just early Fishman's in the live album, so I think whether or not you like it really rests on whether you like early Fishman's, and I think that's fine.
And what's your number 10?
Oh, my 10 is O Mountain, yeah.
Yeah.
My 10 is Neo Yankees Holiday.
Oh.
Grown on me a little bit, but I do think there's just more memorable things here, like Walking, 1-2-3-4, Ikaretsu Baby, Running Man.
Those would all be my choices.
Incredible songs. And you know, the rest of it is just kind of mediocre. Like, Tsukana Naihito, it's a little strange. But it doesn't, I would prefer to listen to that than just like a boring version of something on O Mountain. Number 10.
Number 9 for me is Orange.
My number 9 is also Orange.
Wow.
Wow, we're syncing up. This is really low. Because people really like Orange.
This is relatively low when you realize what I'm putting up. I mean, there's a couple albums that I'm sure a lot of people would put under it, but I don't know.
Orange. It's kind of slight. It's perfect, but it's just like, I feel bad putting Orange above a lot of stuff because it's not doing as much. It's just like some good songs and some jams, and there's not a lot wrong with it. It's just like, this is a really...
they really hit the mark and did nothing.
They made a solid album.
It's like a perfect
album. It's the definition of an 8 out of 10.
I gave it a 10.
Okay, what's your number 8?
Long Season, 96-7, 96-12-26, Akasaka Blitz.
Okay.
That's the full title on Rate Your Music, so I had to call it that.
I was asking you earlier, and you can explain it here. I feel like if someone prefers the 96 version of Long Season to the studio version of Long Season, they shouldn't be allowed to rank the studio version higher.
because the 96 album has like the whole other album in it plus other songs. Explain.
Because the other songs it includes I would generally consider worse than the studio version of Long Season, which on its own I think is better than the whole of 96 1226. Even though the studio or the live version on that album is miles, but it's better than Long Season. But Long Season is 35 minutes of perfection. 96 1226
is a mixed bag.
2 hours of perfection, but like perfection that's lesser.
Perfection that's less perfect.
Yeah.
That's fair. Okay.
Okay. Come on.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And I know that's even high for that album because people don't really care about that album.
Or they just never listen to it.
At all. My number eight is Corduroy's Mood, the Whittle EP. And I feel like this is really high for this because it's an EP. So once again, it's kind of hard to compare it to like albums. But still, like, it's pretty flawless. It's kind of like Orange in that sense where it's not doing a lot, but what it is doing is really good, and I don't have any problems with it at this point. It's so different from everything else in their discography, so much more acoustic-y and like Shibuya K. It's a nice little EP. And I'm glad it is what it is. If it was a full album, I'm not sure it would be as effective.
Well, number seven is, my voice cracked. My number seven choice, Long Season.
Long Season. My number seven is also Long Season, the studio version.
Interesting.
This is really fucking low. Long Season at number seven. Wait, it's not even
an, above it.
Long, I know, same for me. Okay, but Long Season, I was hoping you would have it higher because I felt guilty about not even putting Long Season in my top half of Fishman's albums.
Know that this was the first Fishman song I ever heard, and it was like immediately like, this is a perfect album, and I love this band more than any other band. So if you want to hear me speak like very positively about it, it's better than most other music, okay?
Yeah.
But it's number seven in terms of like the Fishman's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and like I just said, two of the albums that we're including here have versions of Long Season on them that I think are better than Studio Long Season. So like, in my opinion, I had to put Studio Long Season below those. But you know, it's great. It's just like other albums are just doing more. I think that's what it is. Cause Long Season is really, at the end of the day, it really just is one song and it is shorter than a lot of Fishman's albums. And it's just doing less for me.
Despite doing everything.
It's hard to explain. I don't know. Number six.
King Master George. This was like the first. I guess not the first anything, but this was like the first cool Fishman's opinion that I had. Was that King Master George was like perfect good. And like really, really good.
That it's like different from other early Fishman's.
Yeah, no, because it's surrounded by Chappie Don't Cry and Neil Yankee's Holiday.
It really makes it stand out.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
It's like an excellent piece of cheese on like between two stale pieces of bread.
Yeah.
Where the bread is so shitty that then you're like, this cheese is good at least.
Yeah. It also has Doyobi No Hero and a few other choice cuts. Yeah, number six, King Master George.
Also just the scattershot nature of that album is really
absolutely
cool. My number six is 96 Long Season. Like I said, I don't think this is super incredible. You know, there are some songs on it that I think are just fine, but it does have a better version of Long Season in my opinion than the studio, so I put it right above the studio in my list. And it has some other fun stuff on it. I think about the version of O Slime is really fun.
Oh, yeah.
And then also that really slapping Sunny Blue.
Oh, yeah.
Even the Night Cruising on it, there's like the longest version of Night Cruising, and it's really interesting. So I think this is a really underrated album that more people should listen to, and it's square in the middle of my list.
All right. Number five. Hachigatsu no Genjo.
He dropped the Hachigatsu on him. That's really high for you. I didn't know you liked it that much.
It's really, really good. And maybe this is a spoiler on like when we recorded it, but we just got done talking about it for an hour, so I don't really want to talk about it again, but it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Perfect. I'll talk about it later because it's coming up.
Oh.
My number five is King Master George.
Hey.
I had to put it in the top five. I think it's such a unique album and it's doing things so un-Fishman-y, but in a way it's also like evoking their spirit. It's just wild and it's like, it's just everything. It's the life of Pablo, but the Fishman's version. And I love it. And it's really got a song for every mood.
Basically.
Like some of their most like rocky songs, some of their most like punky random moments. The credits track at the end is hilarious.
It has like some of their saddest songs.
Like it has those like classic Fishman songs amidst all this weird shit. Like it's not like they went total experimental, but they did on some, like Reindeer. What the hell is Reindeer? Like I'm just so glad that we have this album. It's like a neat little Christmassy grab bag of like all the different moods that Fishman's are capable of creating.
Mm-hmm.
Number five.
Number five.
Or wait, no, that was my
number four. Yeah, that was your number five.
Number four.
Number four. Kuchu Kempu.
Oh! This kind of low, ain't it, champ?
It probably would have been lower if you asked me a while ago, but I've come to realize that this album is very, very good. It's got Atarashii Hito. It's got Zutomai. It's got Night Cruising.
It's a hit machine. It's literally all killer, no filler.
I mean, except for Slow Days. But even Slow Days is pretty good. Slow Days is really good. It's like, I would never listen to it on its own, but if I'm listening to Kuchu, I've got no qualms listening to Slow Days at all.
Kuchu Camp really is just like an excellent pop album.
It's just got everything.
My number four is 98-12-28. I know this is a little bit low for some people.
It's a bit low, buddy.
But I don't know. For me, it's another matter of just set list. And for me, yeah, it's just like the 98 set list. It's not some of my favorite Fishman songs. It's some of their weaker songs, in my opinion. Interspersed with some great songs. The performances are all excellent. It's a perfect album. I love the album. It's just the fact that like the three albums that I have above 98 are all albums that I just like each song a little bit more. Fair. So that's what it is. And it's sort of like my Long Season ranking at number six. Of course, the version of Long Season on 98 is better than like every piece of music ever. But I'm just looking at the album as a whole, and there's some other stuff that, you know, it's just not quite at that like number one status.
Absolutely.
But
not.
It's a great album, and I hope that you'll have it high up.
Interesting. So number three. I'm glad you never realized.
Wait, you haven't said Corduroy's Mood yet. Oh, God.
Number three is Corduroy's
Mood. Oh, God, no. Oh, that's incredible. Wait, so what do you have Corduroy's Mood above?
Kuchu Camp, Hachigatsu King Message, George, Long Season, and Orange.
That's insane. Oh, you're...
Corduroy's Mood.
This man is a beast.
15 minutes of... I don't know, best music ever. It's so good. It's just 15 minutes... But it doesn't feel too short. It doesn't feel too long. Everything about it's perfect. Perfect mood. Great
perfect
like, progression.
Corduroy's Mood. I've been waiting to say this, but based, Chris. You're so based.
I'm going to take this part out. Anyway, number three.
Yeah. You throw me off guard with your strange
choice. I was hoping you would notice earlier that I hadn't said it yet.
I guess I just forgot about... Everyone forgets about Corduroy's Mood.
Not me. Oh, wait, hold on. That's something me and Silver have in common, I guess.
Oh, yeah. He really likes Corduroy's Mood.
It's like his favorite, right?
That's really cool. I don't know. Corduroy's Mood is great. My number three... This is kind of the only big switch up for me from what I used to think. My number three is Kuchu Camp. I used to think that Kuchu Camp was the best Fishman studio album, but I no longer think that. And it's mainly just of like cohesion. And I guess I'll talk about my number two here as well because it goes in. My number two is Uchu. Because I feel like Kuchu is like a hit machine and it just has great song after great song. And I don't think like Uchu is quite as consistent, but I think Uchu's concept is just so much stronger and it's like much more a cohesive whole. Like by the end of Kuchu, none of the songs really sound the same. None of the songs are really evoking similar feelings. It's kind of just like, here are some songs and they're all perfect. But I think Uchu really transcends that like whole album idea and it just is presenting you like this unified feeling except for Magic Love. And it's just like an excellent album. So Uchu is, I think it was our Uchu episode too that helped me realize this, just talking through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we listened to it in the car like a couple
driving
weeks ago. We were driving,
mountains.
It was like sunset. We're driving through remote Arizona and I just thought, this is a beautiful album.
It's also
this
my number two.
The number two Fishman's album of us.
And I think I reviewed it. We talked about it. You just talked about it right now.
Uchu.
I've got nothing else to say.
So you're number one. I can infer what it is.
98-12.
Wow, what a club.
After putting Corduroy's Mood at number three, this is what kills it.
This is what I love about your list. Yeah, it's equally like totally off the wall. You're like, Corduroy's Mood is better than Long Season. But you're also like, well, 98 is the best Fishman's album.
98 has been there from the start. I first listened to it. I'm like, this is the best Fishman's album. Oh, wait. This is the first Fishman's album I listened to. This is the best album I've ever listened to. And from there, from like skipping class and listening to Long Season, all the way until like, I don't know, skipping class and listening to Long Season. Just listening to Long Season, listening to all of it.
Yeah.
It's just always kind of been there.
It's the album.
It's just the album.
And just the mythology around it.
It just feels like such
a monumental
moment. Aren't those, doesn't monumental, like the root is like moment?
I don't know.
I don't know. They,
language. And you know, my number one is Hachigatsu. I'm out here with the esoteric pick.
Well, we all knew it.
But I'm glad that we contrast each other there. Hachigatsu, I don't know. It's like
Fishman's at there. And it's interesting because Hachigatsu did come out and was recorded like so closely to 98. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely like from the similar era of Fishman's, but they're doing totally different things on each release.
Wow.
So I love it. It's my favorite album of all time. I love Fishman's. Okay.
I like how my favorite Fishman's album isn't even my favorite album of all time.
Yeah, wow, I like Fishman's more than you.
Well.
Maybe not. Let's get into the audience album rankings. These were, I don't know what the hell was going on. So like, these were super close throughout the ranking. Like the top three kept changing. Like they were all within one vote of each other, and every new person that voted, like the top three would change. And the top three ended up actually being nice and spaced out. They're all like 10 votes apart. So that's pretty solidified, but there are a few in here that ended up only 1 point apart, and I'll tell you when we get there. So the worst Fishman's album, according to the audience, is 96 Long Season.
I'm gonna chalk this up to people not listening to it.
That is exactly what it is. No one voted for this.
Okay.
So it's just, and people who did vote for it had it at the bottom. So it's just, yeah, 96 Long Season.
Come on, guys.
Listen
and
to it.
And gals and non-binary pals, come on.
That's the greatest thing ever. yeah, you know, it's there. Which is interesting though, because I know Hachigatsu has less rankings on, or less ratings on Rate Your Music than this, but this did end up lower. So I don't know what's going on there. People who don't use Rate Your Music, we always talk about it on here as if everyone knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, number 12, 96 Long Season. Number 11 is Corduroy's Mood, sadly.
Hello. Well,
it makes sense. It's just an EP, so it doesn't really stack up with albums.
People are not smart enough to realize that it's better than everything else.
This
but
is
it's
true.
Cool.
Number 11, that's a good spot for Little Corduroy.
Little Corduroy.
10
okay.
is Chappie, Don't Cry. Here we have our first proper studio album, and I could have predicted this, that this is people's least favorite.
Yeah.
And then our number 9 and number 8 are our first pair that were only one vote apart. Yep. Number 9 is Hachigatsu, and number 8 is O Mountain.
Come
I think that's
on.
Interesting, because like they're very similar albums in terms of being like live studio.
But they're not similar at all in terms of like how yeah. good one of them is and compared to the other.
But this makes sense. I feel like lots more people have heard O Mountain, and it's just generally, I know the version of Doyobi on there, I don't really care for it, but a lot of people love it.
Mm-hmm.
And Gatsu is kind of regarded as being a bit strange.
A bit slight.
But I was surprised this many people voted for Gatsu over like even Chappie, because I didn't think it would get that much love. So O Mountain is number 8. Number 7, this is also strange. Number 7 and number 6 are only 1 point apart. This is reversed from our last time. Last time, King Master George was really high on our list, but this time I think different people were voting because King Master George is number 7, right below Neo Yankee's Holiday. Just
Y'all
by one point.
Up. Y'all got me messed up. I can't be doing this show no
we
more.
We had different people voting this time. Lots of our new voters really liked Neo Yankee's Holiday. People didn't have it at number 1 or anything. But people had it, like, above Kingmaster.
I know one person, it's like, their favorite Fishman's album.
And I think this just helped me realize, like, Kingmaster George, we love it, but it is a very polarizing album. Like, there are some people who hate Kingmaster George.
Yeah, for some reason.
And I think that's also what this was, is that a lot of people had Kingmaster George really low on their list. Like, some people had it in last place.
And not a lot of people had it at number 1.
Yeah, so it kind of evened itself out, and Neo Yankees ended up above it. But I'm not super surprised, because Neo Yankees has so many, like, choice cuts on it, whereas Kingmaster only has, like, a couple. And then the top 5, here we go. Oh, and I'll say before we go into this, you, a few months ago, predicted what the top 5 would be, Chris. I asked you what you thought the audience
is
would
it, and we're going off of order as well, right? Like, what order? Did
yeah.
I give an order?
You could. Or, okay. Yeah, you did. So you predicted that the top 5 would be 98 as number 1, then Long Season, then Kuchu, then Uchu, and then Orange. And you have two of these things right. So
damn,
you sort of
really?
The last one is right. Orange is number 5, which makes sense. I don't think Orange would beat out any of the Setagaya.
And number 1 is 98, right?
We'll get there.
That's a no.
So Orange is number 5. Kuchu Camp is number 4. So it actually ended up below Uchu.
I guess if I would have known.
Which makes sense with the song rankings, because nobody voted for anything on Kuchu.
Yeah, I just thought people like Kuchu more. I've been seeing a lot about it.
And then here's the crazy shit, right? 98 is number 3.
Interesting.
Number 3. And then number 2 is Long Season, and number 1 is Uchu.
I'm proud of you guys.
I'm so proud. Like, I mean, we have Chris out here voting for 98 as the best album, but then the listeners are true, like, fans of this band to vote Uchu as the best album.
Setagaya.
And even having Long Season above 98, I think, is interesting.
That's, I don't vibe with that at all.
Right?
But I'll accept it, because
I think the thing was here is that, like, a lot of people had, some people had 98 lower.
That's just really interesting to me.
Like, but a lot of people had 98 around, like, 5 or 6, and they had, it's the people who, the kind of people like me who had, like, Hachigatsu at number 1.
Ugh.
They were few and far between, people. And that's why, like, the top three were going around so much. But, yeah, 98 is number three, Long Season, then Uchu.
I'm glad I got 2 out of 5 correct.
Very refined choice. It's like, oof.
I accept
y'all classy. And then before we close out, there were some interesting submissions that I wanted to highlight.
All right, let's go.
A listener named Adam voted for the demo version of Hikoki, which was on, like, that one of those later reissues.
Yeah.
As his 10th favorite Fishman song.
Cool.
You're a King. Nobody else voted for it.
I listened to it,
and it was good. Well. Discord user Flopadesi, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, voted for the 2011 Fishman's Plus bootleg album that only has 3 ratings on Rate Your Music, and we weren't even counting this in the poll because, like, it wasn't one of the albums we're talking about. It's not even Fishman's. Bro, it's Fishman's Plus. We love your boldness, but we're never going to talk about this album because when we eventually talk about Fishman's Plus, it's not bootleg time.
I know. Like, it's not even a Fishman's bootleg. It's Fishman's Plus bootleg. And, you know, they're really cool. I don't want to rag any too much.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's like, I love it.
It's just kind of funny.
Also, they didn't even include, like, other things that we were ranking.
Yeah.
In favor of this, which, I mean, maybe people will listen to things in a different order, but I saw it and I was like, oh, what is this? We also got a few votes for the 18-minute long version of Sori wa Tada no Kibinsa, which I think is performed by Fishman's Plus, and it appears on the Space Shower 3, like, TV bootleg. I have never heard this song. I still haven't heard it, but I'm really hyped to check it out.
Yeah, no, that sounds like the best thing ever.
I know. So. I think maybe Silver, I don't know, some people voted for that, and I was like, this sounds cool, and I'm sure it will crack my top 10 when I hear it.
Maybe.
And then finally, there were 3 people who put Darekawa Sageso in their top 10 Fishman songs. And I want to extend a middle finger to you and tell you to get your ears checked.
Wait, hold on. That's a bit uncalled for. That's a perfect song you're talking about there, buddy.
Really? Maybe top 10 early Fishman songs.
I appreciate your boldness.
I appreciate you listening to the podcast and sending in your rankings.
Please send me money.
So yeah, those are the rankings. I'm pretty happy with how they turned out.
Those were some interesting choices.
Long Season 98 and Uchu, top on the list.
Wow, beautiful.
We love you.
Fishman's.
I don't know how we're gonna edit this. This is part of a longer episode, huh?
Whatever. Goodbye. I'm unstuck with the Lord.